let's play football instead of volleyball, but we'll still have our glistening bodies in the sun.
And then just that tight formation or the sand flats, you know, it's like, you know, all the fun cockpit.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Ted, it's episode 81 and we're back for a few weeks.
Woohoo!
Got back from the Tahoe Trail 100 race. Let's do a brief recap.
Okay.
So it was 63 miles up near Truckee, California, which is North Star California Resort, they call it, by Lake Tahoe.
It's a California side, Truckee?
California side, yeah.
Okay.
It was, yeah, like I said, it's 63 miles north, what is that, the northwest side of Lake Tahoe. Beautiful country.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best courses I think I've ever done. It was beautiful, complete with like a mud waterfall.
Did you stop and take a picture at the mud waterfall?
No, because if you stop, you would have just got washed down it or whatever. But I came upon some people. It was a two-lap course for the 100K.
Mm-hmm.
And I cleaned the whole course twice. You know, I didn't walk or anything. Some people took bad lines on that waterfall part. I mean, it wasn't really a waterfall like you would expect from like Yosemite, but it was just this like meltwater coming down this super steep hill.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like muck and, you know, but yeah, it was cool. Cleaned that and did the whole race in 6 hours, 10 minutes.
Nice.
The race winner did it in 4 hours, 16 seconds. So I was quite a bit behind. There was once, you know, I started running out of food. So I stopped at a couple of aid stations on the second lap. But had I not, I probably would have bonked for sure.
Is that what they call it? Is that a technical term?
Bonking. Yeah, bonking. It's a technical term. And then when you get to the, that's when you get like really like loopy and slurring your words.
Lightheaded.
Yeah, like yeah. you can't go on. You have no energy and stuff. And then when you just cannot go on, you just hit the wall.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of the quote unquote technical terms. But overall though, it was a good tune up for Leadville. I learned a ton. It was the first time I ever did like an endurance mountain bike race like that. All the stuff I've done in the past were like the short 1 hour things.
And the road races, right?
Yeah, road racing and stuff. But mountain bike racing is a whole other animal.
Yeah.
You know, but no, it was a tough course, but like super fun, technical, lots of climbing. The weather was perfect. I mean, it was so dusty and then muddy in sections. I mean, it was awesome. Awesome. And so I wound up talking with the goo rep who is there, Noah McDermott. And so, you know, we were talking.
That's another technical term. GU, right?
Yeah, goo, GU. And it's like energy. It's like an energy company, I guess, is the best way to describe it.
Yeah. Energy gel.
Yeah, there's gels. They have like little chewies. They have like energy drinks and all that kind of stuff. So he gave me some swag. You know, I got bottles and tons of, well, maybe not tons, but I got a bunch of like various goo products and everything. And one of them is Hoppy Trails. So I asked him what kind of hops were in it. He wasn't sure, but he believes it was Citra hops.
One of my favorites.
Yeah. And so these things are like, you know, there's no alcohol. And every time people would come up to like the booth, he's like, oh yeah, we have our latest flavor, Hoppy Trails. Cause all the, you know, some of the ones, like they're just so sweet, you know, you get triberry,
right?
Pineapple or so. It's like, you know, after a while, you're just like, you have like, you know, yuck mouth from it being so sweet. Yeah. So they came out with this one here. Oh, I see the golden, what is it? Golden Road?
The Golden Road pineapple cart, which is blood orange and strawberry and a beer.
There you go. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, I guess they had a lot of feedback. They wanted like something more bitter, right? You know?
Yeah.
So they come out with like a beer flavored thing. And I'm thinking to myself like, okay. And you know, and every time people would come up to the booth, he would say, yeah, no alcohol. And people would even ask, is there alcohol in it? You know? Because some of their products have caffeine.
Right.
So, but this one doesn't have alcohol, but
No, it says no caffeine too. Right. On the front, it says no caffeine. On the back, it says no alcohol.
Right. So during the race, I had a pocket full of goos and all this stuff. And I had one of these things like buried in there. I'm like, it's going to surprise me halfway. And I was coming in near the end, man, and I was just wiped out. I left everything on the course. And I'll tell you, it was the one I pulled out. And I'm like, oh, man, I can use a beer right now. And I just like sucked this thing down. Anyway, let's rip the tabs, and then we'll okay. We'll kind of like pop the cap, but we'll rip the tabs, and then what we'll do is okay. suck one down and see how it tastes. You know, like. All right, cool. There we go. There's the pop. Let's see how this thing is. Oh my god, it's like, it's like a, like as if you took a bland vanilla goo
mm-hmm.
and then you just like squirted in some like hop oil or something.
Are you supposed to drink this? Are you supposed to take the goo in all at once?
All at once. And then you, you don't have to finish
it. I don't know if I could do it.
Yeah. And then well, see, I had a long 95 mile ride today with tons of climbing and such. So I'm still replenishing my glycogen stores. So I'm going for it, but
gah.
You're not, yeah, now imagine, like, you know the funny thing though, when you're like neck deep into a race or something, like you don't even care uh-huh. what it tastes like. You're like, I just need calories.
But even just the texture of it is kind of amazing.
It is weird, isn't it?
Unbearable.
Yeah, it is weird.
I think I'm gonna need to crack my beer just to wash it down.
No, but typically what you do then is then you drink some water and it helps it do its digestive thing. Yeah, I'll have to say, sitting here at the mic tasting one, it's kind of bizarre. But when you're out on the trail and you hit one of these, you're like, oh my god, I could use a beer right now. I think it almost needs more hop flavor, quite honestly.
I think they toned it down for, like, if you're gonna have something that tastes like a beer, you have to, and it's not in a beer space, you have to like really tone it down.
Dude, you know what they should do? They should get like Belgian ales, and then like you have the Bud Light version, you know, for like the people that don't really like beer.
Ugh, I chose the wrong beer for tonight.
What makes it the wrong beer?
I don't know. It's a wheat ale.
Yeah.
Pineapple cart and the blood orange or the strawberries after the goo gel. It's a little too much mixing in there.
Oh man, you're gonna have a stomachache tonight. So, I don't think I've ever done this one before. Figaro Mountain Lizard's Mouth.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Are you familiar with Lizard's Mouth?
Yes, we went up 3 weeks ago to Los Olivos, and we joined Fess Parker's winery, and right down in town in Los Olivos. Is that Los Olivos? Trace? I don't know. Trace?
Los Olivos?
Los Olivos. I don't know how you say it.
Yeah, Los Olivos.
Yeah, so we were down in town, and there's a Figaro Mountain bar there.
Oh, I didn't know they opened one up there.
Yeah, so they opened a bar there. So my buddy and I had a flight, and the Lizard Mouth was the end of the IPA spectrum.
Yeah, and then Lizard's Mouth. So everything at Fig Mountain is named after like local features, I guess. So Lizard's Mouth is a climb to, or like a hike up in the Santa, well, like what is it? The mountains above San Ynez, above Santa Barbara.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, and then you get up there through San Marcos Pass, which is 154. And then there's like a hike to these cool rocks, and it's called Lizard's Mouth. So that's where the name comes from. And then it's Figaro Mountain Brewery here in Buellton, California.
Pop that.
And I'm opening it with my well-earned Tahoe Trail 100 finisher medal that doubles as a bottle opener.
I love our story about that though, right? You came back from Tahoe.
Oh, I had no idea.
You came to Fraggin' Barbara's, and I was like, let's see the medal, because who gave it to you, Mikey or Jimmy or Timmy?
Timmy did.
So Timmy ran up to you with the medal and put it on your neck, whatever. Right. So you're showing it over at Fraggin' Barbara's. And I was like, guess what? That's got a little notch in there. That it's a bottle opener. And you were like, let's go test it out.
Dude, that is the most brilliant finisher medal I think I have ever gotten from any kind of bike ride, 5K. I don't even care what I did. Anything that doubles as a bottle opener, man, especially when like you have this grueling race that you really like,
yeah,
rode hard, like you earned it. And then you feel good about drinking beers with it. All right, so let me have a sip here. Wow, after that goo,
yeah,
you're right, like the hop in the beer,
it's a different texture.
Totally. Yeah, this is typically like a floral kind of IPA, I guess, you know.
Uh-huh.
9% though, this is a decent one, but yeah, it's usually like kind of floral on the back end and all this stuff, you know what I mean? Or I should say on the front, it's a little bit more floral.
Mm-hmm.
After the goo, it's like, I don't know, it just tastes, the beer, I have to like get the goo off my palate, so
it I think halfway through the beer, then you'll get the real taste of it.
Yeah, then I might have to get another one,
because it's It's almost like an Imperial or a double IPA.
For sure, yeah.
You know, it has that full IPA flavor. Good IBUs.
Oh yeah, no, Lizard's Mouth is you know, amazing. I love this beer.
Yeah.
It's like I would say it's a little bit more floral and a little bit like sweeter, I think. It's not as bitter and you don't really get the alcohol bite at the back end.
Yeah, yeah. Then for a 9%er, it's one of those that's
what I mean, yeah.
That doesn't have the full bite. It has enough complexity throughout the taste.
Oh, crazy smooth.
To mask everything. Yeah, it's super smooth.
Yeah. So happy birthday to Bryce. He turned, what, 11, right?
No, he turned 10.
10, okay.
Just turned 10. We celebrated his birthday with you guys when you were here. Thank you for that.
Maybe that's why I thought, because I thought he aged a year and a week or something.
And then we had his birthday party yesterday.
Gotcha.
So it was a lot of fun, and we said no gifts, but people still got him gifts. So thank you for everybody who got him a gift.
Yeah. Big party?
Big party, decent sized party, you know, just burgers and dogs. And he wanted, so we asked him what he wanted for his birthday party this year. And he went super low key. I guess about a month ago, he had bought all that sports equipment. So we have the basketball hoop in the back, and we have new bat and glove, you know, baseball mitts, and, you know, some wiffle balls. And we bought some bases. So we ran the bases out front, and he got a soccer goal from the Gainies.
Oh, that's cool.
And so he got all that gear from earlier in the year. So he just wanted to have the Willett Sport Complex, he called it. He's like, this is the Willett Sport Complex. We had kickball and baseball in the front yard, and we had soccer and basketball in the backyard. And then by the end of the night, when darkness fell and we were still kind of hanging out and partying, the go-kart that he built at camp this year, he was running laps, and they were timing each other on laps around the garage. So he'd go under the breezeway, down the up the driveway, and then back to the front of the driveway. So it was how fast could you go around there? And it's a push. It's a go-kart that you can steer, but you have to push. You know, it's a push go-kart.
So somebody was driving and somebody was pushing.
Exactly. So they all took turns driving and pushing. And then he didn't like the steering on it, so he had to flip it over and take it apart with all of his friends. And he was like, Grandpa Frank, do you have a socket set?
It's hilarious.
So we borrowed a socket set from Grandpa Frank, and I was like, oh, let's return that right away. You know, you don't want to clean up the party and lose sockets.
Oh man, no doubt. They'll wind up in the dirt, you know, you never find them. So then he's all amped then, probably from the Women's World Cup, huh? That's why he got into soccer or something.
No, I think he's just amped to play sports. You know, the beginning of the summer was his appendectomy, and
right.
he was kind of like in the hospital for a week, and then kind of like not to full strength for like a whole month. The whole first month of summer was like not feeling good and trying to get over all of the stuff that was going on. So since he was back to full strength, it was kind of like a celebration of physicality, you know, being physical and being outside. And right now he's outside with Anne in the tent, and they're playing a couple new card games we got for next week. Next week, we're going to be away out of town in Los Gatos. So we have some card games and a new tent mattress. So we could be in the tent on the porch at our place in Los Gatos, at our friend's house in Los Gatos.
Cool. So he's camping out there tonight or just hanging out there tonight?
He's camping out there tonight. After we wrap, I'm going to go out there and relieve Anne for the evening and bring my CPAP out to the tent.
It's Darth Ted.
Darth Vader
Darth Willett.
In the tent. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I'll tell you, man, let's get to it. Like what we're watching.
Okay.
So I cleaned up, man, with the past few weeks.
Yeah. You've been watching tons of stuff.
Yeah. Now that it's like summer vacation, I'm off work now and everything. It's like, I get up, I ride my bike, I watch stuff at night. Like it's going, it's like, it's off the chain.
Don't tell me how much, but do you do the thing where teachers can spread their payout over all 12 months, or do you just get paid when you work? Which way did you choose that?
I used to do 10thly, and then the district changed it to 11 months. I would rather have my money and then just budget it myself.
Pay me when I work.
Yeah. Why give, let them hold on to my money for 2 months, right? I can do my own thing. Yeah. And then they changed to 11 times a year. So I don't get paid for 1 month, but benefits are still taken out. You know, insurance is like, what do you call it? The 403B, 457 pension.
Right.
Like whatever, all those things get taken out on a a 10thly. So I have 1 month where nothing's taken out, and I feel like I'm like, oh my God, I must have got a raise.
I'm a millionaire.
And then I'm like, oh yeah, they didn't take anything out of this month, you know?
All right. Sorry. I just am interested in that pay scale, you know, which one you go with. I thought you were the guy who would not want, you know, to give them the free loan, you know, over the
summer. Exactly. Exactly. That's like, you know, people always want like huge tax refunds back. I'm like, no, I'd rather pay. I'd rather have the money up front.
Right.
Gain growth on it. And then I'll just pay it back with some of the money I made. Like, you know, even though you don't get much in interest, but even still, I guess that's kind of risky.
You want to just have like a zero. You just want to have a zero return.
Well, that would be ideal.
Then zero owed, you know, like if you're flat, then you're calculating everything.
Dude,
properly.
You're like a tax ninja. If you could come out with a zero tax bill, like zero tax bill, zero refund. Wow. You're a tax ninja. But yeah, anyway, we're not a,
all right, what you're watching? Okay. Yeah, sorry.
So at your recommendation,
yes,
on documentary Now, the Blue Jean Committee, dude, that was amazing. And I love the Chicago angle with their accents, yes, and everything. It's like I'm talking to my family.
Yeah, with the accents, and it's a literal sausage factory.
Dude.
he quits the gig, you know, in the band to go run a sausage factory.
Oh, it was so awesome. And just, I mean, and I would say if I could give it one word,
uh-huh,
as a mockumentary thing, genuine.
Yes.
Like if I didn't know any better.
But you mean it. But you mean it. You mean it because it literally, it has the feel. Yeah. If you didn't know any better, what?
If I didn't know any better, I'd be like, damn, I never heard of this band. Dude, I gotta go buy the CD, you know? Oh, so it was so amazing. It was so amazing.
Yeah.
We're 4 episodes into Game of Thrones, so we have 2 to go.
Okay.
What I would say there is, you know, just a brief...
Season 8. You're 4 episodes into season 8, right?
Exactly, and then we're going to be done. But the best way I would describe it, or the best review I would have, is I feel like, or I get the vibe that the actors are just punching the clock to get out of there.
Oh, no.
And, you know, I heard a lot of negatives about this. You know, I avoided all the spoilers and stuff, so I have no idea what happens. I'm watching it fresh, but I did hear some of the complaints about it, you know, and then when I started hearing that, I turned off that stuff or clicked away. But
yeah,
but pretty much I feel like they've been a decade into this show,
mm-hmm,
and the actors are like, you know, man, we've done it. I want to get out of here to go do something else. I'm bored. Like, let's just get this thing over with and move on with our lives.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I feel from a lot of the actors in it. You know, they're just kind of just punching the clock to get the heck out of there to get onto other projects.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's still good. I still like it. They were gone for 2 years, and the first episode returning was like, it was like a 1980s. Let's reintroduce everybody with like these like kind of, I don't know.
They do title cards and stuff?
No, not title cards, but like, it was like you see the back of one of the characters, you know, Sansa Stark, and then the dragon flies over and she turns to watch the dragon fly, and then the camera, mm-hmm, zooms in on her face. Like that, like, there she is. She's back too, you know? Like, and you're just thinking to yourself, well, if you weren't gone for 2 years, you wouldn't have to waste an entire episode on reintroducing everybody.
Yeah.
So I was kind of disappointed in that too. But next was A Quiet Place.
Okay.
So definitely good. The thing I like most about it was its efficiency. Hour 30, like quick, no nothing movie. And the thing I liked about it is did you see it or no?
Loved it, yeah.
Okay, so once they discover how to kill the aliens,
mm-hmm,
she racks the shotgun and then it ends, right?
Yeah.
How many movies would go the next hour of them running around with the microphone and the shotgun blowing away aliens, right? I mean, the thing that I love about it is they respected the audience's time and intelligence. No, I'm serious. Yeah. Like,
I know.
You don't have to tell me, like, how you don't have to show me the 25 ways they're going to go kill these aliens with the microphone, the ear, the what do you call it? The
hearing aid or whatever.
Yeah, the the bone induction. What are they? I can't.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The implant, whatever that implant.
Ocular
is,
right? Implant or whatever. You know, and then they go around, you know, for the, like I said, the next hour killing aliens. I mean, a lot of movies would have done that.
So does that mean that you're not excited about Quiet Place 2? Because I would think that that's probably what Quiet Place 2 is about, right?
They're going to make a sequel? No.
They're shooting it, I think, this next month.
Yeah.
I think it's upstate New York. I think it's going to be shot in upstate New York.
Dude, it should be a one and done. Like, no, I'm serious, because like they told the story, it left you with enough to just chew on and to think about what would have happened and how everything went down and just let my imagination run with it.
I think so. We talk about franchise a lot. I think this is where this whole idea of franchise and, you know, kind of in a horror franchise, if you make money in a horror franchise, you're going to have another horror movie. You know, you're going to have another one.
Well, I mean, That's true. You're not going to, you're not leaving money on the table.
So even if it, you know, as long as it's produced cheap upstate New York and all the New York tax credits for filming in New York State, and then you do all of that, you know, you're gonna make fivefold at least, you know?
Yeah, oh, I mean, let's put it this way. People are going to go see it for sure.
Yeah.
There were a couple of spots, though, where, like, I almost dozed off.
Mm.
It was just too quiet.
But it was the sound design was great. The Foley was great. Did you get to watch any bonus features, or how'd you watch it? You just watched it on?
Just on Netflix.
Netflix. Okay.
Yeah. No, it was great though. I mean, I really enjoyed it. This afternoon, well, when I got back from my ride and after dinner, we watched Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, good. Did you like it?
Oh yeah. That was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the subtle humor that was sprinkled throughout.
Yeah.
You know, tons of comedic relief. And, you know, like a lot of it surrounded the pig Spider-Man, you know, and
Spider Pig. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Spider Pig, whatever.
Peter Porker.
Right, right, right. And then, well, then they're like, oh, what a pig. And he's like, I'm right here, you know. And then he said something like, I don't know, he spins a web or something. He goes, yep, that's all, folks. You know, there was just this.
and they were like, is that legal? Can he say that?
Right, right, right. There's just all this like nonsense. And you're just like, really? Come on. These jokes are so bad. But like you're laughing, though, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the noir Spider-Man with the Rubik's Cube,
uh-huh.
Which was Nick Cage, you know? And
right. Right.
Anyway, so then we also saw Cars 3, Emoji Movie, Wonder Woman, and Meru.
Meru?
Meru. Yeah.
What's Meru? I don't know. I haven't even heard of that one.
So Meru's a climbing movie. So I know, another climbing movie, right? 2015 is when it came out, so it's a bit old. Well, at this point, it's a bit, you know, a few years old. And Jimmy Chin, the guy who did Free Solo,
mm-hmm.
So he and Conrad Anker and they and another guy, Jeremy Jones, and then who's the guy that wrote the book Into Thin Air? John Krakauer,
yeah.
Yeah, so he did a lot of narration on it too and a lot of talking about climbing. And essentially, the Meru Wall in India has been this, like, climbing holy grail for like decades that nobody could climb, and then this small team of three guys, they summited it and were able to hit the top. So that was you know, and there was you know, some like things that happened. There's like a twist, and you know, all true, of course, but I mean it was really good and well done, and it was pretty awesome.
Is that Netflix too?
That was either Netflix or no, I think that was Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that was Amazon Prime.
Did you have to go looking for it? Did it serve it up to you?
Went looking for it. So we were visiting my friend Rudy up in Gardnerville, Nevada, which is like just south of Carson City.
Reno, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's south of Reno, but it's south of Carson City, just east of Tahoe. Anyway, so Rudy's a climber. I've gone ice climbing with him and, you know, rock climbing, bouldering and stuff with him. And so he was, you know, we talked about Free Solo and the Dawn Wall and stuff. And he's like, oh, I got to see Meru. So we watched Meru while we were there. But no, it was great, though.
Add it to the list.
Yeah. No, as far as like, I would say in the list of three,
mm-hmm.
I think the Dawn Wall was
the best.
Probably the better of the three. I would say Meru was second, though Meru might be first. And then Free Solo was third, I think.
And Free Solo is third, but it's the Academy Award winning Free Solo.
Right. Exactly. And Jimmy Chin.
It's all about timing, right?
And Jimmy Chin did Meru and Free Solo.
Yeah, so maybe it's one of those things where Meru
put him on the map.
Could have won him. Put him on the map. Got him noticed. And then, you know, the make good is Free Solo, even though it's an amazing film. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it was great. I mean, but
by itself, it's amazing film.
Yeah, but I think when you look at the storyline of Meru, just like the storyline of, you know, being kidnapped in Kazakhstan or wherever they were, Tajikistan, yeah, or one of those stands. Yeah, being kidnapped and like throwing the guy over the cliff. And
how crazy is that? So just a spoiler for anybody, but if you guys haven't seen the Don Wall yet, go ahead, fast forward like a minute. But to have us hang out the whole movie thinking that he killed someone.
And then they tell you the guy survived.
And how many years? And then they tell him the guy survived. And how long did he live with the fact that he killed someone until they told him that he didn't, you know? Did he go years or something? It's funny. It's so hilarious.
And I wonder, too, like, if they're like, yeah, you know that guy that you pushed over? Like, he survived. And then I think he was executed in, like, a military tribunal. No, I'm serious. I think he was. Didn't they say that at the end?
I think something like that, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, oh, and then he stood trial for kidnapping and they executed him. So he died anyway, you know, but at least it wasn't like at his hand, I guess.
At his hands, right.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what we've been up to. And yeah, it was cool. The place we stayed in Tahoe, the guy had a bunch of late, you know, like, I was going to say late model, like it's a Chevy or something. Mm-hmm. But he had a bunch of, what would you say, like late releases or something?
For, what do you mean?
Well, like, you know, he had, you know, just like Blu-ray discs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the guy had a bunch of movies there that we wound up watching. For some reason, the boys wanted to see Emoji Movie twice.
It struck a chord.
Let's
with
just
them.
Say I sat through it once, and then I was doing other things the second time.
You're like, I'm off.
I don't know. I was helping Clarissa make dinner or something. Who knows? But anything to spare me.
Yeah.
So how about yourself? I'm sure you've been watching stuff over the past couple weeks.
So the past couple weeks, I have been watching stuff, but I will tell you that I have stayed busy. My work had a new project that we kicked off about a month ago, but it's really come to a head these past 2 weeks. We're replacing one of our systems. One of our systems is getting sunsetted, and a lot of people use a system like 10 times a day. It's, you know, just moving files around to different people, but it's hard to move large files securely. So the security of this product that we used all the time, you know, 10 times, 15 times a day, it's like, it's a little too open. So they're like, we're getting rid of this.
So they don't want Russian troll bots like stealing content.
Stealing our little rough cuts that are flying.
Exactly.
So I helped install this gap system so we can securely share things and kind of track things better and get everything, you know, buttoned down and super secure. You know, there's always problems, but as long as you're doing your due diligence, then nobody can really come at you. So that's what I've been doing, like hardcore all day, and like at night I'm still like fixing all the folders for all the people. So
So you're working from home with some of it?
Some of it. And that's a big part of it. A big part of it is like being able to work remotely, but remotely and securely. So there's all dual authentication and all that stuff. So it's super boring, but it's super like high intensity at work. And then on my side hustle at bitcast.fm, we're getting going with our app. So the platform is built on the website where we clip out sound bites. We clip out little 1 minute sections of podcasts and add comments to it and kind of have a stream of comments. So while we build the platform and the website, now we've just started building the app. So I'm heavy into that. I really am excited about getting an app going and keep building the community around that. So I've been doing a lot of that. So I haven't actually been watching a lot of stuff, but since it's been like 2-3 weeks, I have watched a few things. On Saturday morning, we went to go see the new Lion King.
Oh, okay.
And I loved it. I was all in for it. There's a thing that Disney is doing with these live action. Oh, and then I don't like calling this live action. It's computer animation, because obviously there's no humans in it. So it's complete computer animation, even if the backgrounds and the settings are shot live.
But what do they call that? It's like animated.
I think it's just CGI, right? Computer.
Yeah, but there's a name, like, I mean, it's like so real. It's like photoreal or something, right?
Oh yeah. Photoreal is what they call it. Yeah.
Yeah. Photo real. There you go.
But I think without the humans in it, the uncanny valley is kind of non-existent. You know, at no point in time do you feel like you're not watching animals. I mean, even when they're talking, it's like, it's very natural. It's amazing, an amazing thing. And there is a way to anthropomorphize animals even when they look photoreal. So I enjoyed it wholeheartedly. And I don't, a lot of people are saying, you know, the question that we asked, do we need another one? Do we need another version of this? And I think it struck a chord, and it's not for us. It's not for Gen Xers or baby boomers or anybody who saw the original. It's for the Gen Zs. It's for my kids. You know, I asked both my kids walking out of there, you've seen the original Lion King, you've seen this, which one do you like better? And they're like, the new one. The new one's great. Like, they have no... they don't have the same sentimentality.
Well, they don't have a bias, I think, towards one or the other based on a point in their life. I mean, when they saw the other one, they were probably, 5 years old, you know? Like,
yeah, exactly. So the sentimentality that adults attach to the original is all like internal psychology. I don't think it has anything to do with the real product that's out there, you know? And I think in Aladdin, there was a lot of things that they were correcting for. You know, when the animated Aladdin came out, there was a lot of cultural insensitivity. Now with Lion King, there wasn't the same thing because they weren't dealing with humans in the movie, but you know, they were able to do an all African-American or African voice cast because, you know, the animals are on the Serengeti, so it makes sense. And then they could keep James Earl Jones. So I thought that was a really nice nod to the whole thing. And then we watched the other Lion King today, and I watched Chitty Chitty Bang Bang because I was just like, any little like. And who is it? Oh, they were listening to Mary Poppins soundtrack while they were preparing for Bryce's party, Anne and Audrey. And I came in the house and I heard the soundtrack and I was like, you know what? Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is a better movie than Mary Poppins. And the whole house is like in awe. They were shocked that I would
say
something.
That's hilarious.
So problematic. But yes, I believe that.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times when there's a movie, it's not necessarily the movie is so amazing. You know, I mean, there, you know, like if you think about Star Wars, for example, Star Wars is a great movie, but it's a very simple, I'm talking about the original one, right? But it's a very simple movie.
Episode 4.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And I mean, it just tells a story of, you know, the hero who saves the damsel with the wise old sage and the villain. The villain's in black, the hero's in white. I mean, it's like a very, you know, like we call it, it's a space Western, right?
Yeah.
Very simple movie. And is it that the movie is that amazing, which I think, I mean, I like the movie. I think it's, you know, it's it defines my childhood in many ways, but it's also like where you were in time, what was going on in your life and the things you associated to. And like you said, the psychology behind it is what gets you sentimental about a movie over another movie, where our kids are going to be, I don't know, they're going to be sentimental about, like, you know, Toy Story or something. I mean, who knows what it's going to be, but they're going to look back like 20 years, you know, from in the future back to now, and they're going to be like, oh my God, Toy Story was amazing, you know?
Right, right.
So let's jump into some movies.
Yeah, talk about sentimentality. Let's talk about the two things we're talking about today.
All right, we were going to do two, but let's talk about Cats for just a brief second.
Okay, we'll
seeing as I spend time watching it, I'm going to give it about 5 seconds.
Okay.
Literally 5 seconds into it, I told Clarissa, I said, this is one for you and your mom. I didn't say that. I said, have fun with your mom. And Clarissa said, you know, I never saw Cats. I'm not into this or whatever. And then my second thing was, I couldn't help but think of John Candy in Spaceballs for some reason, even though he was a dog.
But the makeup was great, so he could have been in this.
Yeah, I was waiting for John Candy to come out and start doing a pirouette or something.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, it's not what I'm into.
But for me, it's hilarious because I think on Broadway, it's the only musical that I've...
Oh, it ran for like 30 years.
But I saw it on Broadway, so I was in New York.
Oh, I got you, yeah.
Over the late 80s, I think.
Right.
And we went and we saw it at, you know, somewhere. I'm sure we, you know, it wasn't top dollar. I'm sure we saw it at a off-Broadway or like a special promotional show or something.
Oh, it ran for decades, man.
But yeah, so it was an amazing show. And then to see Lion King today, today where the BTS stuff we were watching for the Lion King, they were talking about how Lion King on Broadway was bigger than Cats, you know?
Right.
So it's so funny to see here, like, it was bigger than Cats, and then to have Cats like this. And Anne and I spent a little time watching some trailers and some surrounding BTS material and stuff. So I appreciate what they're doing with Cats. I think it's going to be phenomenal. It sounds like they've really plussed out every angle of how you could do this filmically.
The acting core looks good.
The acting core is amazing. The sets are all practical. The only thing that is digital is the fur on all the actors. So they're all wearing, like,
sure,
you know, body suits and with some facial makeup, I think. And then they do, like, digital fur. So I'm like, that's an amazing achievement cinematically and digitally. So I love the you know, process. We talked about it once when we talked about the new Apple.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that.
The Mac Pro. And it's like, this is what it's going to give us. It's going to give us all of these amazing digital feats. So yes, I'm excited for it. I probably won't see it in the theater, but yes, maybe Anne can go with Clarissa and Barbara.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
If you go back to moving for a living, when did you move? Like 20 years ago?
Yeah. Well, yeah, probably 20 years ago.
Okay. So you go back 20 years and you're back.
I think I quit in 07.
07. Oh, well.
No, not 07. 04.
04. So like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So you go back 15 years and not even go back. You start moving again today, but 15 years later.
Oh, God. Okay.
You'd feel like you're going back in time, not making any progress. Like, is this what my life has done? It's gone full circle.
Right.
And like, you'd feel like, man, I'm just like a bum. I'm a loser.
Yes.
How do you think Tom Cruise and Patrick Stewart feel about playing Maverick and Picard again?
I think that they love it.
Okay. So you don't think that they wouldn't have taken the role if they didn't like it, I guess.
Yes. And I think Picard actually fought against ever doing it again. And I think he, when he left the show, when the show ended, I think he was adamant about not doing it again.
Okay.
But from all the BTS and all the interviews that I've watched since then, everyone on that cast for The Next Generation, the thing they hated the most was the wardrobe. Have you heard this?
From the original or from the current?
The Next Generation. So
that's what I mean. The original Picard one.
Yes, exactly. The original Picard one. Because those body suits were so tightly fit, and they weren't like they weren't like spandex. They were like tight, form-fitting wardrobe. So when you're in it, you couldn't move around. It was very constricting.
So you just have your like panties in a bunch and you couldn't get out of them.
Yeah, the whole time. And when you hear Frakes talk about it, number one, you know, he always talked about how horrible it was because you couldn't like be bloated or you couldn't eat anything during the whole thing because it would just like, it would show and stretch and it would make everything more uncomfortable, you know?
Kind of like Spider-Man in the Spider-Verse when he was pudgy around the middle.
And he just wore sweatpants, right?
That's right.
So it's so funny because watching some of the interviews now of Picard was, he said, even if I'm coming back to do this, I'm never going to be in that suit again. I'm never going to be in the Starfleet uniform again. And only took him halfway through the season because it is a series on CBS All Access.
Right.
And he said, now, Frakes is directing, if not all of them, many of them. And he goes, oh, for the character, I have to do a flashback scene, so I have to be in uniform. It only makes sense for me to be in the old uniform. So he's putting on the suit that he hates, that he may put a writer in his contract saying he would never put it on again during the filming of the show. And halfway through, he's like demanding that he gets the uniform.
And the writer probably says, and you're going to pay me a premium per episode.
Well, they were so funny because the interviewer said to him, she said, do they use your suit? And he said, the production couldn't afford to get my suit.
That's awesome.
Because he kept the original suit in Oxford. It's in like some museum somewhere.
That's amazing.
And he goes, yeah, I loaned it to a museum in Oxford, but they couldn't afford to fly it to our shoot.
But you know what's fantastic about this trailer, though, is that it is not a Star Trek series without an episode or more. I don't know. I'm assuming one episode, but at Vasquez Rock.
Yes.
Like from the very first episode of the original series, they were on Vasquez Rock. And here we are. We see Jean-Luc Picard walking on Vasquez Rock, man.
It's so iconic.
And the funny thing is, so my Uncle Bud, he's worked on a number of Star Trek episodes and movies and all this stuff. You know, he's done a ton with Star Trek. And I remember he would always tell me, like, they'd be crash landing in the middle of, like, you know, some planet, whatever.
Yes.
But the planet was always, like, you know, well, shot at Vasquez Rock. It's 115 degrees. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's dying. You have these guys in, like, the latex makeup and everything.
It's melting.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And it's like, and they're just out there in Vasquez Rock, you know, and he's always like, why can't they just crash land on a tropical island, you know, a tropical paradise? And yeah, it's got to be just brutal to be out there, you know, filming in that heat.
I was a PA for a summer, first summer that I got here, and they were shooting a horror film, and the production company was here in the valley, and then they were shooting, like, all the exteriors up at Vasquez Rock, and every time I'd go out there with the football or with paperwork to somebody to sign, everyone's like, you know, this is where they shot a lot of Star Trek. So I'm like, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Just sign this paperwork so I can go back to the office and the air conditioning.
That's exactly right. I love in the trailer, though, how the mystery woman, uh-huh. And he's like, I met this woman. And then, like, they show her doing these martial art moves, just kicking ass, right?
Yes, yes.
And then the next line is, she's in serious trouble. It's like, you got the timing wrong, buddy. Like, she's not in serious trouble. She can totally handle herself.
She's literally the opposite of what you're just saying to me.
Yeah, exactly. That was a good one. No, overall, though, it's cool that you see, like, Picard Estates or the Picard Chateau. And
yes, and he's making wine. Got his dog.
Yeah, right. He has a dog and everything. And no, it was totally cool to see all that. And then, I don't know. Another thing that's cool is the reimagined Romulan ships.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Birds of Prey. Yeah.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed seeing that. It was only a split second on there. And it looks like...
But a fleet of them. There were tons exactly. of them, like, invading this planet.
So. And it looks like it's the Romulans and the Borgs. Like, the Romulans are, like, I don't know, enslaving the Borgs or something. And
well, it seems like, so I did watch a couple of the explainer videos on the trailer.
Okay.
Happy Comic-Con. I guess we didn't really say that. That's why we have the
Star Trek series coming out.
No. What are they? We have Embarrassment of Riches with trailers that pick from this for this show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But the explainer videos for this Comic-Con trailer was kind of amazing. They kind of break down every little thing. And when you see the Romulan testing facility where it looks like they're testing on a Borg ship.
Yeah.
It has in there, they do a zoom in. And you know that how many days since the accident? If you watch it again and see in there, if you zoom in, it says 3,852 days since an assimilation.
That's hilarious.
And I was just like, why would they? It looks so ridiculous when they zoom in on it. You know, it's just a ridiculous thing in chalk to put in there. And like, the Romulans would never have something that simple and simplistic.
Right.
So I thought it was funny, but it was a little out of character for me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like when I was in the army, they always had like 72 days since the last DUI.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And then like some knuckleheaded private would get a DUI, you know, and then you see zero. And then you're just zero. Like, ooh, man, that unit's hurting right now. Yeah. That first sergeant's all over him, you know. But no, I mean, Star Trek Picard looks cool. I mean, it's only on CBS All Access.
I know. So we're watching it, and literally Anne and I are on the sofa, and Anne turns to me and she goes like, damn it, what are we going to do? How are we going to watch this? And I'm like, we just turn it on and turn it off. We did it for Discovery for the first season. The second season came around, and it wasn't enough to pique our interest to do it again. So now we have two shows that we'll be able to watch. We'll be able to watch a second season of Discovery and Picard. You know, it'll be like, well, we get to watch two episodes a week. And if we like the second season of Discovery, we can just binge it, you know?
We just turned on HBO.
Right.
You know, and we're watching Game of Thrones. We're probably going to do, you know, Barry.
Ooh, yeah, watch some Barry.
Oh, and then that's the other thing I saw was Thanos. I mean, Theranos. Yeah, I forgot about that one, too. I watched Theranos.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, the HBO one.
Was it good?
Oh, you didn't see it?
I haven't seen it because we got rid of ours right before it came out. So I haven't seen Barry season two and that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, what I want to know is how did they get the footage? And what I mean by that is she that narcissistic that she's having people filming her walking around the campus of the company and all this stuff? And then somehow they get it for this documentary. I mean, like...
Well, they hired that marketing firm. They hired that top dollar marketing firm.
Is that how they got the footage?
To produce like marketing material. And then the marketing firm was like, I think they had a bad split.
Oh.
And they were like, oh, we can't do marketing if you guys are just frauds, you know? So I think part of that filming is from that marketing firm.
Okay, that makes sense then, because, you know, I didn't do any research on it like, you know, I should have, but.
That was the same way that Fyre got a lot of their footage for that.
Oh, the Fyre Festival,
the two documentaries
yeah.
for that. There was another marketing firm that they hired, a top dollar marketing firm, to try to, you know, gloss over that stuff. And when that turned, the marketing firm was like, we're not going to be party to this. And they took their footage and kind of had their footage. So be careful when you write those contracts for filming something and make sure you own it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense then, because like some of the scenes you're like, you don't like get all this footage in a documentary where someone's going to tell you you're a fraud. Like, why are you agreeing to this? You know, but that makes sense from what you said.
So Picard, are you going to turn on CBS All Access to watch this? You didn't do any Discovery, so you could watch two seasons of Discovery.
Yeah. Oh, that. And so with CBS All Access, it is a weekly release?
I believe so. It was when we watched Discovery.
Okay, so it's not a binge release.
Oh, not a binge release, but you could binge like old seasons. Like all of Discovery is out, two seasons of that.
Yeah.
And Jordan Peele's Twilight Zone is on there too. I think that's
done. I'd like to see that one.
So just think, if there's four shows on a service and it costs, what, $6, $5.99, $6.99 a month, maybe that's worth it, you know? Four shows.
Yeah, I think what we're going to do right now is...
After HBO?
Yeah, we're just going to like just go through the HBO stuff. You know, Game of Thrones, we're going to see the next season of Westworld. Barry will check out. I hear that's a great show. I mean, you said it, but I've also heard from other people that it's great.
Oh, good.
You know, maybe we'll do some more Silicon Valley if I can stomach it. Because, you know, I think, and like we mentioned too, I mean, it's like the third season curse in a sense, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, by the time you get to the third season, the first story arc is over. The transition story arc has already occurred. And now you're into some third story arc that you're like, you're not even invested in because you're like, you don't even care about the characters anymore, you know? But
right.
Anyway, let's move on to Top Gun Maverick.
That's right.
So again, he goes back to move for a living. I mean, I guess Tom Cruise is into it. He wouldn't agree to it if he wasn't, right?
He's totally into it. I think he was locked up on the nostalgia. He did a secret drop-in on Comic-Con when they debuted the trailer. He introduced the trailer and spoke to the audience. And when Tom Cruise comes into a hall at Comic-Con and he talks about filming whatever 20-odd years ago across the street, you know, at the restaurant where they filmed some of the scenes, you know, in San Diego, because they're shooting at San Diego, the base down there. It's so nostalgic. The whole thing's very nostalgic. And he looks almost exactly the same. If I looked as good, you know, 20 years later as I did.
He's in his 50s. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about, you know, Star Trek and that's the alien show. But we're like, Ann and I are sitting this over like Tom Cruise.
He's in it, right.
No one ages like that. It's either an alien or the best plastic surgeon in all of LA. Maybe he could both. He could have both.
So what's the deal, though? I mean, like, so many scenes are just too similar to the original movie, though. Like in the bar, the
okay, so my sell on what this is, they don't call it a teaser trailer, but this to me is the definition of a teaser trailer, because I feel like,
because of all the questions it raises,
so there are two scenes that are dialogue scenes, and they're both scenes with Ed Harris, and it's probably just the continuation of the same scene. It kind of bookends the trailer a little bit. moment.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But while he's in that scene, he's got a astronaut collar on. And he, you know, and he's got the black whatever suit, you know, black jumpsuit.
Well, I was thinking he's like a test pilot, perhaps.
Exactly. He's a test pilot. But then all the fighter scenes they show are in conventional fighter, and it feels like they're only showing us opening scenes or opening few scenes of the film.
Yeah.
And like just hitting you over the head with nostalgia for the bar scene and all this other stuff. But all the new stuff and all the fun stuff is going to come, you know, that second and third act where he's this test pilot for something. And when Bryce saw this, he was like, is this about Neil Armstrong? Because he, you know, he recognized that astronaut collar.
Sure.
And he thought this was like a fictitious, you know, retelling of one of the astronaut things. And also it's the anniversary of Apollo 11. So it's all in the zeitgeist right now. Everybody's talking about it. And he's reading tons of books about all the Apollo missions. So yeah, I think that they've just shown us as little as possible. And it's just a glimpse. And yet they showed us a lot. But I have a feeling that most of it's in the first act.
Right. Oh, I see what you're saying. So the first act would be the bar scene. Let's play football instead of volleyball, but we'll still have our glistening bodies in the sun. I gotcha.
And then just that tight formation or the sand flats, you know, it's like, you know, all the fun film stuff, but the real tension's going to come from him, like not wanting to give up his captain chair, you know, his cockpit.
And the scene where he's coming off the aircraft carrier, I mean, that looks like it's probably pretty real, huh? He's like, there's probably a pilot in front of him and they have a camera like on the seat in front of him.
Oh, don't you think Tom Cruise learned how to fly an F-14 for this? Come on.
Right.
He loves it so much, I'm sure.
He learned how to fly an F-14 in the 80s. This is like an F-15 or something, right?
Oh, yeah. That's right. They show one F-14 at the very end.
They do, yeah.
When it's going off, I was like, oh, there's that sweep wing F-14.
But I mean, do you think that was a real launch off of an aircraft carrier or just movie?
I would have to say, you know, if you're Tom Cruise, teach me how to do it, and then I'm gonna do it. I think he would do it.
He's not flying by himself in that thing. No way.
I don't think he's flying by himself, but I think he's actually doing it.
That's what I mean. It's an actual launch off an aircraft carrier.
I don't think there's another pilot in there doing it for him. You think there's another pilot in there doing it for him?
Well, it's a two-seater. Because they don't show someone behind him.
But
he's in the back.
But
he's
Rio.
In the back seat.
Oh, you think he's the Rio in this?
Probably. We'd have to see it again.
We'll watch it again. I think he's doing everything practical. I think he's like, oh, I can't fly. I'm going to, you know, I'll bring my own F-14. I have two of them.
Or he's in the front seat, but the guy in the back seat is the one who's actually flying the aircraft.
All right. Well, we'll do some research and I'll bring some.
Yeah. No way is he flying that thing. Come on.
He jumps from buildings to building. He does all that rock climbing himself. Come on, man.
Well, we'll see.
He's the real deal.
Could you imagine, though, like flying near Mach 1? I would say it's at least, but near Mach 1, like 30 feet off the ground.
Yeah. That's amazing. I don't know.
I mean, just as a regular, I'm not saying Tom Cruise, I'm just saying like a pilot, though. I mean, like the perception of the speed has to be so fantastic because you're just so close to the ground.
Yeah.
As opposed to being like at 30,000 feet or something.
Right, right. And you got to turn off all your warnings because, you know, it's like collision warning.
Yeah, you're too close.
You're too low. You're too low to the ground.
Right. I don't know. I'm probably going to see this one, I think.
I think I want to see it in the theaters. Oh my God, when we saw Lion King, we saw it in the Dolby Cinema, and that thing was amazing. It's not IMAX per se, but it's huge. It's ultra black. Its sound is amazing. You know, it's got everything.
This is in Burbank?
In Burbank, in the Burbank's AMC 16.
Right.
And, you know, when you go an hour early, you get to go sit in the best theater in the whole place. And it was amazing to see. And they have a little video that they put on to tell you that you're in a Dolby Cinema theater. And it's so funny. They're so baller that they cut to black, and the black is super rich. So they leave it on the black screen for a second, just all black. And then a line of copy just pops on the screen. It says, "Yes, the screen is still on." You know what I mean? So it's like, our blacks are so rich, you think the screen is off.
So is it like Thurston Howell, you know? You are in Adobe Surround Sound Theater. Just totally sophisticated.
Yes. If it had a VO, then it would be Thurston Howell.
Yeah, because it's complete sophistication, right? So Top Gun, you said you're probably going to see it in the theater.
I think so. I think it's got, you know, it's got everything.
Dude, I bet the surround with this, home system, movie theater system, I mean, wherever you're, you know, if you have a good system, man, you're going to have planes flying all over the room.
Yeah.
You know, with the sound. I bet the sound score on this thing is going to be just outrageous.
Mm.
So that's what I'm looking forward to, is just how good the sound is going to be.
But you're not going to see it in the theater? You're going to wait for it home?
Oh, I mean, probably not the theater.
Yeah.
I'll wait, you know, wait for it to get to the, by the time we get it, you know, I'm not saying never, but it's just, it's tough, you know, and where we live and everything, it's tough to get to the theater because it's kind of far from here and the babysitters and we don't need to cover it all again.
Yeah, all that, every time.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So, all right, man. Well, hey. I'm glad we're back for a couple weeks before we head off to Colorado. And then we're going to do a couple more weeks of replays. So I think the replays played well.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we'll do, like I said, when I'm in Colorado, we'll do a couple more replays. And then we'll get back to it in September with maybe some new interviews and such.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, hey, I better let you go get your CPAP and get all in Darth Vader mode.
Get out to my tent for the night.
Yeah, you're, you know, sent to the, it's like, it's kind of like the Flintstones where they throw the cat out, but you know, they're throwing Ted out. So are you sleeping out there tonight?
Yes, hopefully Bryce is already asleep, and I'm gonna go relieve Anne from being in the tent, and then she'll come in and I'll go out for the rest of the night.
And you have to work tomorrow?
Yes.
Oh, well, good luck with that. So what do? You just set like your phone alarm or something?
Yeah, just set the phone alarm, wake up at 5, go to the gym.
Oh man, I better let you go. It's almost 11. Jeez.
Almost 11. It's fine. That's enough.
Man, I'm, like when I got up at 5, it's like 8:30. I'm wrapping things up. All right, Ted, I'll let you get out there, man. You have a good night.
All right, you too. Have a good night.
All right, we'll talk to you.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.